everyone, and welcome back to the Research Talks here from Stopbox with just Alan Green today. Bit of a blast from the past, Alan. It used to always just be me and you.
It's just like old times, Mark, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it was 2020, not long after we started Stopbox, we started doing Research Talks. So here we are.
Yeah.
It's
a weird thing. It just feels like that this is always it's always been going on this. But yeah, 6 years, that's a milestone in itself, I think.
So it is, isn't it? And I do keep a running tally every time I edit, and I probably missed a few along the way, but I think we're up at 258 at the moment, sort of episodes, if you like. And then we do one a week, so does that work out about right? Four years, maybe. Four or five, exactly. So, but anyway, it's gone quiet. Dan's on holiday. It's definitely, the weather's a bit changed. I'm in the UK at the minute, and the weather is, as usual, very, very changeable this morning. It's very warm. Looks like it's going to be a warm day, but you never know what's going to happen. But certainly the markets, I've not been keeping as close eye as I usually would have. I'm not at my desk, but I think we were just saying before we started recording that it's seeping in now, the summer lulls, the summer doldrums, let's say, the lack of winds, to use a Navy expression.
Yes, we've become becalmed.
Exactly.
To use old
when they're stuck without wind, if you've ever seen that film, good film, and they're sort of waiting. In fact, that episode is called Doldrums, I think, or that section in the film is called the doldrums, where they literally are stuck in the doldrums waiting for the wind to come back in blistering heat, and finally it does, and the rains come and the storms come and the volatility returns.
Yeah,
so we have to wait a little bit for that.
it's always extremes, you know. It's the happy medium you want, but with a bit of a breeze and a good sea and good progress, but invariably in the markets it's usually one or the other, isn't it, really?
Exactly. So we're just going to cover two companies today, Quantum Helium and, of course, One Health Group. So over to you, Alan. What Quantum Helium, you were saying they've had quite some significant news recently.
Yes, they have. And, of course, it's been helium is still very, very much in the in focus at the moment for many reasons. Of course, I was at the London Stock Exchange earlier this week for the induction into the AIM market for Mendel Helium with Nick Tulloch and his team. And prior to that, of course, we had Rift Helium that IPO'd a few weeks before that. And the reason, of course, is that Qatar shut down and it's a helium production facility. And, of course, that has resulted in one third of the world's helium supply going offline. So there's a push to find new sources of helium. Now, Quantum Helium, of course, is the old Mosman Oil and Gas. The company owns the Sagebrush and Coyote Wash flagship projects in Colorado, and the projects are sited close to the famous Leadville Formation, which is famous for many producing wells and has a series of geological anomalies under the ground that contain gases and all sorts of other mineral components. The Quantum Helium investment case is really cornerstoned by the Sagebrush oil well. Of course, Sagebrush is a well that produces oil. It generates revenue for the company, and I'll cover the most recent quarterly results from that shortly. So as a company, of course, it's raised money at several phases over the past year, but it does have this trickle of income from the oil production that supports working capital and, of course, the exploration activities for helium. So across the two projects, there is a validated and independently validated resource of 1.1 billion cubic feet of 2U helium prospects. And that's Sagebrushes represents 0.97% and Coyote Wash represents the rest. But it is Sagebrush that is the producing oil well, and that is currently the focus for the the companies for the work schedule for the company. Now, the company currently trades at 0.30 of a P, giving it a market cap of just over 14 million. And we've seen year highs of 0.52p, year lows of 0.2. So really, I think given the recent leaps forward, a quantum leap, excuse the pun, the company hasn't really seen that reflected in the valuation in the share price. So I think there's a real value opportunity for investors here. Now, the company has gone through a number of processes to secure rights to work the land. Of course, the Colorado is very much overseen by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the company went through those stages to get the permissions from the indigenous population over the past year. That's now done. We've also seen a lot of support from the board. The directors, Carl Drumble, the chairman, Howard McLaughlin, the CEO, Andrew Scott, non-exec director, Graham Duncan, and others, they've all purchased shares across the board this year. So there's been a lot of support, and it's always good when you see a board coming together to support to support the company, support the project, and it shows, it's having skin in the game is very important for any company, for the board of any company. So we've seen this as we've gone forward. Now, in June, the company published a quarter one update, and this quarter one update was primarily focused on the revenues that the company generated from oil, $108,000 in oil for quarter one, versus 118,000 last year, 2,482 barrels compared to 2,600 this time last year. And the company was going to outline the strategic value in maintaining this oil production to generate working capital and, of course, support helium exploration and production. Now, two other significant developments in June, the company announced that it intends to pursue a share consolidation, and the share consolidation, of course, will mean the company will issue one share for every 100 shares. Part of this is because is to prepare the company for a US listing. They're currently investigating a US OTC secondary listing, and of course, with the company's assets being based in Colorado, that obviously makes total sense. There is an EGM scheduled for the 1st of July to ratify that. So we fully expect that to happen. But the big news from Quantum has been this week, and it's partly what has depressed the share price. But as of yet, we've not really seen we've seen a bit of a bounce back to previous levels with this result, but I'm surprised that it hasn't pushed further. Now, the company announced it was undertaking an extended production test at Sagebrush to examine the helium gas. Now, the assets that I described at the start of the talk, 1.1 billion cubic feet, have been independently verified by a global energy consultant. This is Sproul E. The company Sproul ECRP, that they are widely recognised as a consultancy, and they will go in and independently verify any discoveries, any assets that they're contracted to do. So Sproul have verified the assets, and what the production test on that was announced on Monday confirmed that there is helium gas of 2.5% in the gas samples tested, significantly above typical industry commercial concentrations of 0.3 to 1%. So massive tick in the box there. Helium is there, and it's there in large quantities. What the company also discovered through this test, and it was basically injecting fluid, fracking fracturing the ground to reach the reservoirs. Acid fracture stimulation work connected to a series of natural fractures and reservoir systems, which the company said are of significant size. So that's an exciting factor to within this. At the same time, I mentioned, of course, the oil production from sagebrush that continues ongoing. The company also identified a new commercial oil field with potential for up to 40 barrels of oil per day. So straight away, that's a new add-on to the company and the valuation metrics that simply wasn't there before. Now, all of this data has been submitted to the energy consultant Sproul for independent review. Next steps are underway there. The company is looking to increase reservoir exposure. Obviously, it's through the acid fracture, it's undertaken that work and it's got to these reservoirs. There's also a cleanup that is part of the process. So the cleanup is being accelerated. And what the company refers to as a commingling of multiple leadfill intervals. So in other words, all of those intervals, all of those reservoirs are being connected together. And in order to extract the gas, the company is engaged now in the installation of a rod pump and a general pump check equipment. So hugely exciting. So we are very close now to seeing the first commercial helium production from the sagebrush asset. Now, in terms of potential value to the company, what's it going to be worth? Many independent estimates flying around, but there were some good metrics put out a few months ago by an analyst, and the estimates equated to 1 million cubic feet a day. A single well could generate $5 million in profits per year. 2.5 million cubic feet, the company could generate $12.5 million per annum. 5 million cubic feet would generate $25 million in profits per annum. And that's obviously just from one well. So this is based on sagebrush. So you then multiply that out over the potential that's in Coyote Wash, which the company have yet to get to. You've got huge potential blue sky upside. But either way, at 14 million sterling currently, I think Quantum is offering great value at this juncture.
14 million, yes, so not so much. And what was the revenue at the moment, Alan? What was it sort of? So, I can't remember what you said.
So the quarterly revenue, this is quarterly oil revenue, $108,000. So, over the year, that'll be sort of, $500,000. Close to $500,000. And that's just from that one source. Now, with this new oil well coming on stream, obviously that's going to add to that. But of course, now the company's gearing up to access those reservoirs and to extract that helium. So we really are on the cusp of what will be a sea change for the company in terms of its valuation, in terms of the helium production, and what that will mean for the valuation of the company. And of course, we've seen that what that does to peer group companies. We've seen. Well, obviously, Mendel Helium, I think we're going to start to see some movement north now they've completed the list of your name. But also peer group companies like Pulsar Helium, $150 million sterling market cap, HE1, Helium 1, Helix Exploration, they're all 50, 60, 70 million market cap. And, here's Quantum down at 14.5 million. So, I think there's a lot of upside and a big gap to close.
A lot of these sort of producers, oils or gas producers, they're making money, right, like Quantum is, but they don't, I don't know, they're just not as sexy. I don't know, not as attractive. I'm not sure. They don't seem to have, because they're not fully de-risked, but they've got revenue, and that's rare to find in any kind of exploration or oil and gas space, but they don't seem to be trading. Maybe it's the lack of blue sky. I don't know. Maybe that's what gets people going. But I like I like the ones that make money because, you know, it's a working business, right?
Yeah. It's solvent, you know. So the company raises money, but also investors can see that there's that steady sort of flow of cash into the company, and that's
exactly
important. You know, if you're valuing a company, that's a major plus. And of course, they just literally stumbled across this additional oil resource at Sagebrush. Another 40 barrels of oil per day. You know, as the process continues, who knows? They might find more. And the lead formation is extremely fertile. There are many producing wells in that region.
Mm. Okay. Well, maybe it take. What do you think? That sort of those metrics you set out there, Alan. So that sort of path, if you like, to 5 million or 5 MCF per day. Was that realistic? What do you think it takes to get there for them?
Well, the equipment's going in now. So obviously, you get the gas out, you extract the helium, you then get the helium to market, and that's the company's pretty close to that. In terms of those next steps, the company is going to set that out very shortly. But I think at the moment they're getting the equipment in place to do that. But once we get to that point where we are producing helium, then the sky really is the limit, you know. And it's a huge field. I mean, I think the company has said that with the potential sort of asset there across the two projects, you know, you've got one of the, well, a listed company on AIM, probably with more resources than any of its peer group. So that's quite a claim. And of course, now we're taking significant steps closer to actually getting it out of the ground and getting it to market, and that's the exciting bit, because that's pay dirt. That's when the money comes back in,
exactly,
and the valuation changes.
Exactly. Okay, Alan. Well, thank you for that. We'll keep tabs on that. It sounds like it's got lots to keep an eye on as they're going through that increase of the production there. But let's talk about something a bit different. So, One Health Group. Now, we've talked about them before, but what's the latest with One Health Group from your point of view?
Well, we picked up on One Health Group last year, and of course, the company, just as Mendel Helium did, the company moved from Aquis across to the AIM market. And it's had a steady, if unspectacular, year. And I think again, you know, you mentioned just now the company's being sexy and, you know, attractive to retail investors. You know, One Health Group probably isn't, but nonetheless, there is a very solid business model lying underneath this, and I think it warrants closer attention. So the company fulfills a niche within, it provides assistance to the NHS in the form of elective surgical care. This is managing patients across a network of community clinics and independent hospitals. The business goes back to the early noughties. It was founded by in 2004 by Derek Bickerstaff, who is a practicing consultant surgeon. Derek Bickerstaff remains the chairman. Adam Binns, of course, is the chief executive, long-standing chief executive there. They launched the idea as a response to government legislation regarding the Patient Choice Initiative. And what this means is that any qualified provider, the government sort of has laid out guidelines for any qualified provider status. So if you need a surgical procedure, you can go and see a doctor, you can wait in line for the NHS, or you can elect to go to one of these clinics where, if you like, they're taking up they're taking some of the pressure off the NHS, you know, reducing waiting lists by building these new facilities. And indeed, I'll come to this shortly, but the company has built is in the process of building and commissioning a new facility up at Scunthorpe, as we were saying earlier, Mark. So this is necessary surgical care for patients. And the company this year has delivered significant progress. Chief executive back in February bought £10,000 worth of shares. And also during that period, the company announced the final sign off and commencement of construction of that first surgical hub in Scunthorpe. So that's underway. That'll take place, that'll complete fairly quickly. And then what the company plans to do after that is to roll out a series of additional hubs across the UK, but focusing on the areas where NHS waiting lists are longer, and of course where there is more demand, and of course a concentration of the population. Now, in April, the company appointed a new CFO, a part-time CFO, Chief Finance Officer, Heather Craven, who's an experienced FD with various PLC companies. She was FD at Burst Group PLC and Faber Press PLC, and she's also currently a non-exec director at Rotherham NHS Trust. So that's a very good person to bring in as FD, because of course that's a direct connection there to the NHS. The company also announced during that period it had renewed its contract with the Sheffield Teaching Hospital on longer terms. And what this does, it helps to reinforce revenue visibility for One Health Group. Back in April 2024, Lincolnshire Integrated Care Board and South Yorkshire Integrated Care Board renewed their agreements for 5 years. So in other words, they've moved to 5-year agreements rather than annually. And of course, that helps the company with its revenue visibility, planning, cash allocation, capex, and all the rest of it. All three hospitals and care boards equal 80% of One Health Group's revenues and activities. So that's a key focus, and to have that squared away is very important for the company. So we then get to the most recent announcement, which is the full year trading update. That was announced in at the end of April, the company announced a great set of figures. Revenues had risen 13% to 32 million. NHS referrals were up 11% to just under 19,000. Consultations were up 20% to nearly 51,000. Surgical procedures up 15%. And the company is going to announce its full year results on Monday, July 6th. So we're a few weeks away from that at the moment. But Chief Exec Adam Benn said, delighted to deliver another strong year-end trading update ahead of market expectations for our first full year following the AIM listing. And, of course, the construction of the surgical hub has commenced. NHS waiting lists remain very high despite continued NHS efforts. And we're proud that One Health remains well-positioned to continue to reduce pressure on the NHS by providing free, high-quality care across these underserved areas. So really fulfilling a niche, great sort of visibility. But I think the one thing is, if we look at the share price performance of the company, it's been modest at best. We see the trading range between 171p and 274p, currently trading at 247p, so off those year highs. And really, there was a muted response to the results in April, the shares have sort of fallen back a tiny bit since then. So I'll just look at this in the run-up to full-year results. We know those results are going to be strong, but they may have got better still, given the company's track record. It's usually over-delivered, under-promised and over-delivered. So there could be an opportunity here now to buy into the stock in the run-up to those results and hopefully see a lift on the day. But anyway, I just wanted to bring this back up. I think it's a great little company, and I think there's real potential to come.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, Alan. I'm sure you were keeping tabs on it, and you can let us know how things have gone either as we see what happens throughout summer or when things come back in the autumn. But thank you for re-highlighting One Health Group to us, and well, enjoy the weekend. I've no idea if it's what the weather's going to be like, but if it's nice, enjoy it. And we'll speak next week with Dan.
Thanks, Mark, and hope you have a great weekend too.
If you enjoyed this interview, then give us a thumbs up, a like, or a retweet. subscribe to us on YouTube or follow us on Twitter, and hit that notification bell to be the first to know when we release new content. There's loads of great content on our website too, across all our programmes at stockboxmedia.com. Thank you for watching.